Mr. McClung, and it's a real delight to be back again tonight to be with you. And I have to say once again, an excellent program, really well done, and wow, the talent of your Sunday school teachers there as well, wonderful all together. Now, from this moment on, you can all now sit back and relax. The program has went well, there have been no headaches or heartaches, and you can take it easy now. Think no more about it. That is, of course, until this time next year, and it all begins again, and you all have to start over afresh. Now, I want to thank my in-laws today for looking after me and feeding me up so well. If I was to come every Sunday, I think I'd have to put the tracksuit bottoms on. It was tremendous. It was lovely to be with them. And I hope that each one of you here tonight all took the advice of the Sunday school superintendent. Do you remember when he said earlier that you're all to go home and you're to have a little nap for a couple of hours and come back here tonight so that you'll be ready again for more? And I trust that you've done that, not just the boys and girls. I think a few of the big people did that as well, and they're all ready now for tonight. Now, there's something I want you boys and girls to do for me, as well as sitting up really well tonight. We've brought our little fishing net along. We've got a few things to say, a few questions to ask. And again, if you know the answer, slip your hand up and you'll get something out of our little fishing net if you know the right answers. Now, something I want you to do before we start tonight, and if you mums and dads want to do it as well, well, that's fine. This is one of those meetings where we can all be involved and nobody will say anything to you on the way out. And we trust that you'll join in with us. And I want all the boys and girls in the meeting tonight just to put that thumb out like that and that thumb out like that. Can you do that for me? There's the mums and dads all sitting. I'm not doing that. Okay, now let me see you at it now. There's a man there, started, so he'll keep at it. Get that whole row going there, brother. And we'll get them all going. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take, you ready for the next bit? I want you to put your fingers out like that. Okay, now it's going to start getting difficult. And what I want you to do now, if you're sitting ever so quiet, because I need a lot of silence for this bit, I want you not to click your fingers, but I want you just to do that. And if you're really, really quiet, and just bang your finger and your thumb together, you should hear a little bit of a noise if you're really quiet. Now, this is where it's going to get really difficult, and this is where you'll find some of the mums and dads will drop out because they just can't cope with this very difficult part. What I want you to do is, if you can't hear that, I want you to bring it up just a little bit closer to your ears. Okay? And now we're coming to the very, very difficult part where I need you, on the count of three, to grab the hold of the bottom of your earlobes. Okay? One. Now, this is very dangerous, very difficult. Some of you girls will be getting married soon, and what you do here could ruin your wedding photographs, so just be very careful. We don't want sticking out ears the rest of your photographs for everybody to see. So one, two. Now, you need to do this very gently, not roughly. Three. Just gently hold on to the bottom of your ears. And I want you to bring them right out round to the front so I can see them. Really good. Nobody over here taking part at all. Have a bit of sense. Okay. Now, hands all down, arms all folded. Very important reason for us doing that tonight. I wanted to make sure that every single person in the meeting had their ears on them, because I found this lying out in the car park and I thought this belonged to some of the boys and girls here and I was going to return it to you. Now, more important than that, the reason why we got you to do that is a very biblical reason. For the Bible says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, boys and girls, you have been given two ears and one mouth. That should tell you a whole lot. You need to be listening twice as much as you talk. So from this second on, let's see who can do that. Wonderful. Because for a few minutes tonight, I want to speak to you boys and girls about trees. Now, somebody has done some counting, and I heard this on the radio one morning. Somebody has done some counting and some calculating, and you know what they've done? They have counted the number of trees on planet Earth. and they've used all kinds of computers and satellite imaging. They mustn't have much else to do if that's what they're doing, counting trees. And they have come up with a figure. There are 3 trillion trees on the planet. Not 3 trillion and one, or 3 trillion, exactly 3 trillion. Somebody must have cut a few down to make it a nice even number. And that's how many there are, 3 trillion trees. Now, to make that big number really understandable for us all, if you and you and you, and of course that man over there, all got our fair share, all got an even number each, equal number each, we would all get 400 trees each for our own. That would mean you would have one tree every day to climb up and fall out of. And it would also mean you've about 30 trees left over, and hopefully there'll be lovely fruit trees and plum trees and apple trees, and you get a big tuck-in of goodies. 400 trees each. Now, whenever I come to the Bible, I read a lot about trees. And I want to tell you a story tonight about trees in the Bible. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this particular story is because if I was to tell you maybe the story of Noah's Ark, you would already know it. If I was to tell you the story of David and Goliath, you will already know it. But I want tonight to tell you the Bible story. It's a wonderful Bible story. And maybe some of the adults know this story. It's the Bible story about 4 men and 4 trees. Maybe some of the adults know that Bible story. It's a really terrific one. If you don't, then listen up. It's a story about 4 men and 4 trees. Brilliant. So I'm going to tell you that story today. And we're going to use some words to help us remember this story. And all these words begin with the first letter in the alphabet. Slip your hand up if you know the first letter in the alphabet. Wow, a lot of clever clogs. What is the first letter in the alphabet? Very good. There we go. Wow. This is better than school, even easy things to get something out. The teacher wouldn't give you that. Sure, she wouldn't. She would give you that quicker, wouldn't you? Okay. Now, all our words begin with the letter A. I'm going to tell you about 4 men and 4 trees. Good man. At least there's one listening. Good man. Put your hand in there and get one of those out. Just the one now. I'm watching. Brilliant. Good man. Okay. Now, because if we use all these up, we'll have to start getting pound coins of Mr. McClung. And that wouldn't do. Sure it wouldn't. Now, 4 men and 4 trees. This is a wonderful Bible story. If you're sitting up well, I'll tell it to you. Now, to help us tell this story, I brought a little tree of my own, so that you won't forget what we're talking about. Now, it's not really a whole tree, it's just a bit of a tree. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. You can tell I'm a gardener. Look at this. Look at how flat that is. Not better. Okay. This is my little tree. And we want to talk about this tree for a minute or two and tell you this wonderful story from the Bible. The first of the 4 men that I want to speak about, his name is Adam. You read about him way back at the beginning of the Bible. And we read there, boys and girls, mums and dads, about Adam, and he was hiding behind the tree. Peek-a-boo, like that. He was hiding behind the tree. And the reason why Adam was hiding behind the tree was very simply this word here. Now, slip your hand up if you can pronounce and spell that word out there. Adam was hiding behind a tree because he was this word here. This man here. He was indeed. There we go. I have to watch these ladies' hats here at the front. I'd get an awful hand on there, wouldn't I? Okay. He was ashamed. He was hiding behind the tree because he was ashamed. You see, what had happened was this. God had made this world in the space of 6 days. And everything was pronounced good. Wonderful. Made Adam and Eve. And sadly, Adam and Eve, after a period of time, they fell away from their state of perfection before God. And they sinned against God. And immediately they sinned against God, we discover that their eyes were opened. And they discovered and they felt the guilt of their sin. And the shame of having sinned against God.
who had done nothing only but good to them. And Adam knew that in the cool of the evening, God would be coming to spend time with him, to commune with him. And so Adam, knowing that he had sinned, knowing that he had done wrong, he decided to run away and to hide behind the trees. Of course, the Bible tells us that men are like that. Men prefer darkness, and their deeds are evil, and they will always hide under the cloak of darkness. And there was Adam hiding under the shadow of the trees and in the bushes and away, thought he could get away from God. And he couldn't. And you know, nothing has changed. From the first man, Adam, to every boy and girl here, our very latest generation of young people. Because you know, as well as I know, because you have, as well as I have, run away when we've done something wrong. Maybe you've done it this week in the playground. Maybe you've been out in the playground carrying on and playing, and you've said something or done something and hurt somebody, and somebody said, "I'm telling the teacher in you," and you run away and hide. You don't want to get into trouble. You don't want to face the consequences. You don't want anybody to say anything to you. Or maybe at home, you've maybe broke something or taken something, and your wee brother and sisters say, "I'm going to tell on you." And you run away up the stairs, and the next thing you're under the bed hiding. Worst place ever. That's where mommy and daddy look. That's the first place to look. You see, we run away and we hide, and we try and cover up. But as I said this morning, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Thou, God, seest me." And there was foolish, poor old Adam hiding behind the tree because he was ashamed of his sin and what he had done. Didn't want to face the consequences. And you know, men and women, boys and girls, you know, whenever God did come, and I just throw this in as a side thought, God didn't come to Adam in a tone of anger, in a tone of, "I'll get you now for that." I believe he came in a tone where he could speak to Adam in a merciful way, willing to even forgive him. When God came to Adam, Adam made excuses. He pointed the finger away from himself to his wife Eve and said, "She made me do it." And when God spoke to Eve, she took her finger and she pointed her finger away from herself and she blamed the serpent. And coming back to Adam, Adam even almost pointed the finger at God and said, "You made this woman for me. It's your fault." And the finger is always pointed away, because we won't stand up and face the consequences ourselves of our wrongdoing. That's the first man. The second man I read about, he's found in the New Testament. His name is Nathanael. Now, whenever we ever read about Nathanael, boys and girls, he isn't hiding behind a tree. Nathanael, he's sitting, well, he's under the tree like that. Must have been a nice warm day. He certainly wasn't sitting out under from away from the rain, because of where he lived, it was nice weather. And he was sitting under the tree and he was sitting there relaxing. And if you don't know who Nathanael is, Nathanael was one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't very well known. He wasn't seen as an active person in the sense of being right up at the front, but a very godly man, a background man, one of the 12. And there he was sitting under a tree, and his pal Philip came running up. No doubt out of breath. He said, "Nathanael, do you remember as we were reading our Bibles?" Hope you read your Bible. "As we were reading our Bibles, do you remember we were reading about the Messiah that was coming? Well, he has come. And I have met him today for the first time. And Nathanael, I want you to come. And I want you to meet him too." I wonder, do you boys and girls, as you sit in Sunday school and you hear about the Savior, you hear about the Messiah, do you go and tell others to come along too so that they can hear of the Savior? I trust that you do. Well, Nathanael, he went along with Philip to see the Messiah. And you know, when the Lord Jesus met Nathanael, he said to him, "Nathanael, I saw you when you were under the tree." Nathanael, he was this word here. Slip your hand up if you know this word. Nathaniel, he was this word. Oh, look at the hands going up now. Okay, there's a man over here knows. This man here, do you know? Can you get that big word? Did you get it? Brilliant. Really well done. Good man. Super job. Okay. He was astonished. Nathaniel was astonished that the Savior knew where he was. How did this man know that I was sitting under the tree? Sure, that tree was far away. But that's only the start of it. The Lord Jesus then said to Nathaniel, I see that in your heart there's no guile. In other words, he was saying to Nathaniel, I see that you are a godly, upright man who seeks to live for the Savior. And they had never met before. And Nathaniel was astonished that the Savior knew about him under the tree and knew what was right in his heart. I wonder, what does the Savior see, boys, when he looks in your heart tonight? Does he see one who loves the Lord, upright, trusting, living for him? Or does he see one who runs after every sin and wickedness, who maybe lives a double life, who lives a churchy life, and then the rest of the week in the world and in sin? Something that we can't see, but the Savior can see. He was astonished. He really was. That was the second man. The third man I want to speak about, he wasn't behind the tree, and he wasn't under the tree. The third man I want to speak about, well, boys and girls, you read about him in the book of Luke, and he was up the tree. He wasn't there. You see this? You watching? No, not bother. He will just do it with two fingers. He was up the tree. Look, there he goes, up at the very top. There he is, up the tree. Anybody think they could slip their hand up and tell me what his name was? Probably somebody knows what his name was. This girl here. Yes, that's right, Zacchaeus. Now, I'm in big trouble because this girl knows the answer. She might know the whole story, so I better not make a mess of it. Or she'll say to me afterwards, you missed this bit out and you left that bit out and you know that was wrong. Maybe she'll let me off. Her name's Grace. She'll maybe help me out. Okay, now, he was up the tree. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Zacchaeus. Boys and girls, if Zacchaeus lived down round where you live, your mummy would say, don't you go near that man. Your daddy would say, you keep away from that boy. Because he was bad news. He was a wicked, ungodly man. You know, I'm sure that many of you boys and girls in school and in other places are glad to do a little bit of charity work. Collect a little bit of money for people in need. Well, you see, Zacchaeus, he was the very opposite. He took money off those who were in need. The Bible says the poor, he robbed them. He took too much tax of them. He was a greedy, selfish, sinful man. And boys and girls, he didn't care about anybody, only himself. And your mum and dad, if you lived in that day, and they would have known him, they would have said to you, keep away from him. Bad man. But we're reading the Bible on one occasion when the Savior came to this great city of Jericho, and that's where Zacchaeus lived. And he came down the very street that Zacchaeus' house was, his business was, and the crowds were gathered. And I think it was the only time ever he took half day off. Closed the shop up early, got the money in the safe, out he went. And nobody would let him see. There's nothing as bad as wanting to see something and nobody let you see it. And nobody would let them pass. And he wasn't very tall. And they wouldn't let him through. And they said, shove up here. Don't let him pass. Don't let him in. Keep him back. He doesn't deserve. And Zacchaeus couldn't get to see. The Savior was coming along. And we're told, boys and girls, Zacchaeus, as quick as lightning, he ran and he climbed up the sycamore tree. And there he was at the top. And right enough, the Savior came right past. You know the wonderful thing about that story? The Savior knew him by name. Said, Zacchaeus, come down. Now, you know, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus knows you by name. Mums and dads the same. Bible tells me that he even knows the very hairs that are on her head. Now, I haven't as many to count as you would have, but he knows them all. Knows all about you. And he's an interest in you. Cares for you. Loves you. And he was the very same as Zacchaeus. They told that man to come down, and Zacchaeus came down. But we're not told of the conversation that was had at Zacchaeus' house, because that's where they went. But we could see the result. What a change. The Savior went in and he spoke to that man. And that man was this word here. What do you see? Here's the next word. Who knows this word? Nobody at the back knows anything. Maybe they can't see it. You'll have to come up next time round and pay for dear seats, get near the front. Look at all these girls all know. Very good. Let's have a look here. This man here know, do you? Wow, very good. Well done. Good man. Quick, hurry up. Take your time. Okay. You get one? Did that lady beside you help you, did she? No. Because I was going to say, if she did, you can give her one too. Well, give her one. Good man. Because she looks very hungry, doesn't she? Okay. Now, Zacchaeus was accepted. The Lord Jesus accepted this man in all of his sin and all of his wickedness. Nobody else accepted him. Everybody else rejected him. Everybody else hated him. But that day, that man saw something in the Savior's eye that he hadn't seen in the eye of any other man. Love and care and compassion. And he heard it in the Savior's voice. And he was able to turn to the Savior because the Savior accepted him in all of his sin. And that should give us great hope tonight. Because no matter how sinful you are, no matter how wicked you are, no matter what you have done, and maybe even the Holy Spirit is bringing it to your mind just now, or even akin to that, the old devil would bring it to you and say, it's too much. But the Savior is willing to forgive you. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you know, the Savior was willing to forgive a murderer of his own dear people, a man who called himself the chief of sinners, Paul the Apostle. What could he not do for you? You can be accepted. When? Immediately now. Not after doing so much penance and trying to do your best, but now, just as you are. That's great news. And that brings us to the whole wherewithal of how that can happen. It brings us to your fourth man. The first man, he was behind the tree. The second man was under the tree. The third man was up the tree. Let's speak for a minute or two about the most important one. The fourth man. The fourth man, boys and girls, mums and dads, we read about him and we're told that he was upon the tree. You see, in the Bible, the cross of Calvary was made out of wood and sometimes it's called a tree. And this fourth man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and he died upon the tree. The cross of Calvary. And boys and girls, mums and dads, he died in a way that people looking on in that day would see as a death pronounced on a criminal. Criminals were put to death that way. They were punished publicly for others to see and know not to do that. But the Savior was not a criminal. He was not a murderer. He was not one who rose up against the state. He was not a troublemaker. He was a spotless, sinless Son of God. You see, he died there on that cross for your sin and for mine. I'm going to show you this fourth word. If you get this word, I'm telling you, you must be a real whiz. You must be going to some school. Where do you see this word? The Lord Jesus died on the cross. He was upon the tree for this reason and this reason only. Savior was upon the tree for this word here. Now, that's a big word. Let me tell you, if you're in school and you put that into your comprehension or your story writing, you'll get an A+. It's a big word, isn't it? There's some of these girls think they know, let's have a wee juke here to see. This girl in the middle. Yes, that's a real good answer. The Lord Jesus was upon the tree to make atonement for you and for me. Now, I will not ask you to put your hands up anymore. We're going to take this word And we're going to make it a bit smaller. I was never that keen on big words in school. Number one, I couldn't pronounce them. Number two, when I could pronounce them, I couldn't spell them to write them down. So what was the point in big words? So I thought to myself, we'll take this big word and we'll make it a bit smaller. You see, the Lord Jesus came to atone. And still, that's far too big a word. We'll make it even smaller. The Lord Jesus came and he died on the cross to make us at one with God. You see, as you are now, you're not at one with God. In your sin, you're actually the enemy of God. You are unholy and he is holy. You are unrighteous and he is righteous. You're wrong and he's right. And you're his enemy in your sin. And the Lord Jesus died upon the cross so that you and I can be at one again with God. We can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we can be saved. And all we need to do is to call upon him to forgive us. And tonight, you needn't be like Adam. You needn't be running and hiding from God. Yes, there should be shame of your sin, but you can come to God and with open arms he'll forgive you. You needn't be astonished tonight because you should know in your heart already that God knows all about you. And you should be able to rejoice tonight that he's willing to accept you and make you at one with God. What a Savior. What a message. Have you done that? Is he your Savior? Are you going to leave this meeting tonight with him as your friend? Or are you going to leave still his enemy? Going to stand before him one day condemned. Your sin that you have will stand as a mountain before you. All that you've done that's wrong will be made public. And you'll be lost forevermore. What foolishness to leave this meeting tonight knowing that there's a God who loves you, who sent a son to die for you, and to go out and try and do your own thing. What foolishness. To go out and forget about it. To go out without him. Oh, that you would come tonight. Do you know something? Someday, I'm going to meet these men that we've been speaking about. I'm looking forward to meeting Zacchaeus. I'm going to say, "Hey, are you wee man? How's things?" Because I'm going to see him in heaven. Because it's a real place. And he was a real person. I'm looking forward most of all of seeing the Savior. But I wonder, will I ever see you again? Will you be there? Or will we never see you? Because you never came. You never trusted him. You died in your sins. You missed your opportunity. You were lost forever. Don't let that happen. You come to the Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. I recommend him to you. And I trust that if he is speaking to your heart, that you'll make it known to us, that you'll come tonight and trust in him. If we can be any help to you, that's what we're here for. We're nothings and nobody. But we can point you to somebody, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our blessed Savior, who can save you, who wants to save you, even now. Boys and girls, you've sat ever so well. We're going to hand just back over to your minister just now. Thank you very much.